Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary
with Mr. Rod Oram. Hi, Rod. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. I'm very well, thank you.
You sound sharp and on the money today. Are you ready? Are you ready to talk tax? The whole country's talking tax, Rod. It's doing our heads in.
Well, one of the problems I've got is that the whole country is really only talking about one tax, which is capital gains tax, and there's lots to discuss there. And what's been lost sight of is the whole picture that this tax working group looked at. Well, almost the whole picture. I've got a beef about one part that it didn't look at. Unfortunately, all that good work is getting lost. We're barreling back.
Classic New Zealand day.
Yeah, yeah. And we're not dealing with the first order issue, like why are we trying to do this? We immediately jump down to the third or fourth order issue, like, oh, it's going to be so complicated.
What about me? What about me?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's obviously your thoughts on the response of the general public, similar to mine, Rod. But have the tax working group done something worthwhile here? Has it been worthwhile sitting at the top of the every news break and every talkback show and even on here on BFM? Have they done a job worthy of this much chitter chatter and back and forth?
They've done a job that's worthy of a bigger, broader, more thoughtful response. Inevitably,
well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Absolutely, but we're not getting it. That's the problem. We're getting this hyperventilation around capital gains tax. Yes, there are all sorts of issues, like the rate at which the tax working group advised that the tax should be levied is high, but, you know, that's negotiable.
Recommendations.
Yeah, and so can we actually have a debate around all the interconnected parts of this, not just capital gains tax, and the detail on this, i.e. exactly what the tax rates could be? I'm sure that's completely negotiable. And apply a little creativity and how we would do a complicated thing relatively more simply than some other countries. I mean, this is complicated, but tax is, as in other things in life, complicated.
You're an astute studier of the world of business, Rod. I'm sure you know your way around money. What are some things that we need to take into account when we do discuss tax? Because it's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The idea of it.
I'm very happy to pay tax.
Me too.
It's an important part of our civilization. It helps keep things going. But in that sense, it's got to be fair and efficient. There are all sorts of inequities that we have now without a capital gains tax. In other words, there's a whole source of income, gains from capital, which are not taxed. And I always hate the phrase, but levelling up that playing field so that if you're just a wage earner, you're not disadvantaged versus somebody who's making lots of money just from capital gains is really important. And you need to do it efficiently so you don't get people expending vast efforts to work out how they can legally work around the tax or spend far too much time thinking about that or have that cloud their decisions. But one of the things that's intrigued me is that one of the standard responses from a lot of businesses, including major organizations like Business New Zealand, is that if there is a capital gains tax, that disincentivizes business owners to grow their business. So in other words, if you think that when you finally sell up and cash out of your business, you're going to get less, the proposal from the working group is you'd be taxed at 33% on the gain you made in the time you grew that business. But again, that's very negotiable. That's high by international standards. Yeah. We can certainly have that come back a bit. But I just don't understand that logic at all. If I'm in business, well, I am. I'm a one-person freelance journalist. But this kind of argument doesn't apply to me. But if I was in a business and I...
Say you were making speedboats.
Yeah.
Did very well, couple of mil.
Yeah, and I wanted to... Well, I mean, let's take a very, you know, ordinary item, you know, something that you'd sell to Mitre 10 and Bunnings in their...
Oh, don't bring Jenny Shipley into it.
Yeah, that's right. And if you...
Spades. Okay, you're selling spades. You made $1 million selling spades.
Yeah. No, but the point is, if you were... I think logically you would want to grow the business. You'd want to make it invest in the business. You'd want to make it more sophisticated. So when you sold it, you'd be able to sell it for a higher price, and therefore you'd still be able to realize, you know, get the money that you hoped for upon retirement.
Yeah.
And the next argument is, so, okay, somebody decides, well, I'm not going to grow my business. I'm going to just sit here and milk it. Well, that's fine, but you'll find you'll have to compete with other employers for the staff you've got. Because if you're not growing, there'll be some staff there and going, well, you know, this is kind of a dead-end place. I've got no future here. This company's not going anywhere. Yeah. I'm going to go and work somewhere else.
It's a big picture thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And, well, actually, I think there's some basic human responses here that are being misrepresented, i.e. this idea that people sit there and won't grow their businesses. And to me, the most amazing part about this is you can also benefit from negative capital gains. So if you've had a go at something and you've made a loss on it, or if you've bought a business and it hasn't worked out and you have to sell it for less, you can write off that loss against the capital gains you've made elsewhere.
Right.
And I actually think that's an incentive to invest more. But I think it's kind of useful to think about these tax things in those sorts of behavioral ways. My favorite area of economics, because it's the one that is most about people, is about behavioral economics. It's not these abstract econometric models, you know, algorithms and all the rest to try to justify, you know, perfect markets. You're actually trying to work out how people actually behave. And I think that's a useful way to be thinking about some of these taxes.
In 2014, there was a little flurry of news stories. I've just got one up here saying that many of the New Zealanders that are worth more than $50 million are only paying tax on they're saying that they're not, that they're only in the second lowest income bracket, so paying tax on around $70,000 of annual income. Inland Revenue monitors 200 New Zealanders worth more than $50 million each, yet 46.5% of those multimillionaires earn less than $70,000 a year.
Yep,
apparently.
Absolutely.
That's so bad. Those bastards, and if they're doing that, is this the tax working group attended to that somehow? Is there a way of sort of bringing that back into balance?
Yeah, I mean the capital gains tax would do that. Yes. Yeah, so
or are they not doing anything wrong? Am I just jealous? A little bit jealous.
I would argue that they are not. They're not making a fair and equitable contribution to society.
Oh, yes, I would agree with that.
Many of them argue, oh, no, we're making this terrific contribution to society because we're growing all these businesses, employing all these people. And he said, well, that may be true, but you might have portfolio investments like, a nice portfolio of commercial property, or it might be in shares in overseas companies, and then the connection between your investment and actual economic activity gets a good deal more tenuous. So I think that's one issue, and I have, you know, I'm going to start saying this more and more clearly. If you look at societies around the world where there are real tensions that are politics are polarizing and societies are shattering, like the UK, like the US, like Italy, like France, like Austria, like Hungary, the list goes on. These sorts of inequities are at the heart of that. It's not much fun in many countries these days being just a wage earner.
Yeah, that statistic where in every single case ever in the whole of history that when the gap between the rich and poor in a country gets bigger, everything goes wrong.
Yeah,
bad. Things go bad.
I mean, just look at the huge sense of frustration in these countries, and of course, the capital gains tax doesn't solve that. But we need to do, you know, an enormous number of things to try and put those things right. But one of them is a tax system that's fair, and we're clever enough to make it as efficient as we can.
So tell us your thoughts on the National Party's attitude to the new rental rules, the new rental guidelines and recommendations they've made, that they want to get up and running as quickly as possible so that everybody's got a nice, warm and mould-free home.
Which are perfectly reasonable goals because of...
It's where people live.
The poor state of our housing and the health and well-being and all the other issues that flow from that. Particularly on the... There is some important phasing going on here. So the requirements to improve insulation, that's got quite a long lead time in, because past experience shows it takes a long time for landlords to gear up, but crucially, there isn't the capacity out there of companies that can run around and do the work. So there's already a sort of reasonable timetable built in there. I have to say this. I'm fascinated by the human response.
Same.
To me, that maybe you actually don't care about the tenants. Or you have a very limited care about the tenants, but I just would urge people to see that and that bigger picture.
Surely, if it's a problem for you to do that in a house where you are expecting people to pay money to you to live in there, and you're providing their living conditions, then if you can't do it, then you shouldn't rent out the house. It seems like the most logical. It seems totally like that's the rules. It's the rules, you know.
If society needs,
I'm a stickler
standards.
For the rules.
Yeah, well, society needs standards for all kinds of things, not the least of which the quality of a house. And if a landlord won't meet the standards of that house, then they have fallen foul of an important law and should pay the consequences.
Shouldn't get to be a landlord, I don't think.
That's a really interesting question. I don't know that anybody's ever been banned for, you know, serially breaking rules like that. That's an interesting question.
We were talking about a study that came out of the United Kingdom. They were talking about youth mortality, and New Zealand's got the 18th out of 19 countries. We're the 18th worst for youth mortality. We might be the worst, but youth suicide and respiratory disease.
Of the 19 high-income countries in the OECD, and we just sort of scrape into the bottom. Well, we're not scraping.
Oh, we're a trier.
We're down in the bottom quarter. You'll have seen in the news this last week those measures from the UK on a whole bunch of issues about people's welfare, particularly in this case, young people. And it is chronic. And if we think that, we don't have much of a backlash here, then you say, actually, that is the backlash.
Young people are dying.
That's how it is affecting people. That is the decision. No, when you feel there is no hope, and for whatever reason you take your life, that is kind of, should be an unmistakable signal that all's not right.
Rod, do you think that we're going to see a change in the as we get closer to the election? Because it really is only not that long away, isn't it? Really, it's the.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to see the National Party sort of toughen up, square up, and get a little bit more orthodox? Because with this blue green, this and that, and they're dancing around doing here and there's, you know, I sort of feel like they're ready to really. Get old school New Zealand on it, you know.
Oh, just ditch Bridges and choose Collins.
I never said that.
Yeah, I just don't know. I'm not close enough to all of the, you know,
probably
discussions
the best.
That go on in the circles there. That's going to be a really difficult decision for them because. It's going to be hard for them to justify to themselves that Collins could appeal to a wider chunk of the electorate than Bridges. But if he can...
Appeals is an interesting word.
Yeah. If he continues to, well, attract the votes off, they might be reluctant votes, but you at least get the vote. But if he continues to poll very low ratings, and the party itself is well down, then there's enormous pressure on him. But of course, this is an absolutely classic thing, because we saw it during the Helen Clark government, what a shambles National was through the first two terms of that, multiple leaders, you know, Don Billingish, yeah. Don Brash, you know,
rolling each other.
Yeah. Then we saw, of course, during the Key government, we saw the same with Labour. So being in opposition is a very, very, very tough job. I would be really surprised if there was only one leadership change, i.e. from English right. to Bridges. I'd be very surprised if it's only one before National is back in office. It would take the country very significantly turning against the current government, I think, to achieve that.
Hey, Rob, very, very quickly before you go, because we're right over time already, but are you weirded out by the fact that no one's talking about China now? That was so
yes,
last.
I
that
am.
Was last week's thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. One hand, I'm happy because I think we were jumping at our own shadow sort of problem, we weren't having the sort of discussion we need to have about, you know, what do we stand up for? What's our role in the world? The whole thing with China is not just about Huawei and Five Eyes. It's about China now being a dominant country and wanting to be determined to be a global power. We've got to decide how we lead our life like that. We're not. We're just sort of jumping around very nervously. Oh, you know, the Chinese don't like it anymore, and oh, we're in trouble.
All right, Rod. Hey, lovely to talk to you. I'll speak to you again in a couple of weeks. All the very best, Rod Oram.
Thanks, and all the best to you, Mike.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.